2, everyone. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. With me is my co-host, Miss Tifflebot. What's happening in the city this week, Tiff?
Oh, you know, I'm not in the city, as you can see from my exotic locations.
On assignment, Miss Tifflebot.
Yeah, reporting live from a small town outside of the small city in which I live.
Well, that's all right, man. So, you know, it's looking good this week, Tiff. We got an actual, you know, movie in the movies, and so yes, that's always good. We went to go see Nope this week, everyone, the new Jordan Peele thing, so we'll be talking about that. In the news, man, we have some Dungeons & Dragons news, man, you know, so I actually got a lot more knowledge on this. You know, I watched the Comic-Con panels and stuff and got a chance to, you know, hear some of the backdoor stuff, so pretty interesting. And a Netflix show that I watch regularly, just out of all of a sudden, just came back. So we'll be talking about that. I didn't even know it was in production, you know, and it's coming out. So wow, right? So we're doing what we're watching, and it started as a cop out, y'all, but now it's kind of dope. We got some good stuff to tell y'all about.
Mine's really good. I knew from the start that I was gonna have a good one, and it was like a trap for Montego, because yeah, I was like, well, I know I've got one.
And I'm like, oh, okay, what I've been watching. And it just hit me. I was like, God damn it, you've been watching that. So we'll be talking about that and tell you guys about something that we think is groovy. And that's gonna be it for the show, man. So Tiff, are you ready to roll?
I think so.
Let's giddy up. We are back, man. Let's tell the people where all that social media sweetness is so they can get the full spectrum of what is Fans of Patrol, Tifflebot.
Okay, so for everything Fans of Patrol, go to fansofpatrol.com. That's our main hub where you can email us at fans@fansofpatrol.com or get to us on social media at Fans of Patrol on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Oh my God. Check out our, I choked on my own spit like a professional radio host would do.
Wonderful.
Check out Montego's favorite TikTok, which is Fans of Patrol Zero.
Yes, indeed.
Our YouTube. And then check out our Patreon if you would be so kind. And of course, listen on your favorite listening platform, like you're probably doing right now.
Indeed. So what do we got going on? So we all know Comic-Con was last week, and they debuted a whole bunch of stuff. And there'll be more to come because, you know, all this stuff is, I predict, is going away because D23 will be coming back. You know, that's what Disney and keeps all the Marvel goodness and this, you know, the heavy Star Wars announcements, and somebody else does something else too. You know, nobody wants to do just one thing no more. Everybody got to be special, you know. Dungeons and Dragons, something is so weird. Dungeons and Dragons, in my opinion, touches so many different people so many different ways. You know, you have the famous D&D nerd games that, you know, that if you admitted in the past that you played, you got your ass whooped, you know, just on GP. Just, I play D&D. You just fists start flying. Then it was the old 1980s cartoon, which was my introduction into Dungeons & Dragons, where kids went into amusement park and magically they're in that land. And, you know, so that was so cool. The show was only like one season, and I loved it.
Gone. Yeah, never. I would watch that now.
Yeah, it was really good. And the thing about it is, I saw a documentary on that show, and it wasn't canceled because of ratings. It was canceled because of like some political garbage, like rights and shit, and this person and this studio and that type of thing.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. So it just disappeared. Like, just like this, same for like Robotech. It was the same situation. Who owns it? Because, you know, whatever. And then it just never gets made. And so then we've had Dungeons and Dragons movies that have been absolutely but terrible in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
video games.
Plenty of video games.
I mean, it's unquantifiable to say how much Dungeons and Dragons has permeated the culture, because, I mean, if you've ever played like an MMO or anything like that, that would be heavily influenced by Dungeons and Dragons models and stuff like
would
that.
Would not exist without Dungeons and Dragons, to be honest with you. You know, that so, form of gameplay. Yeah.
You know, and then I'm not saying that everyone's had that experience. I certainly have. But I think other than that, that it trickles out into the culture in ways like, I mean, I think most notably Stranger Things is something that most people can relate to as far as like understanding what it is as a cultural phenomenon. But I mean, even beyond that, there's things in popular culture that you don't realize.
Yeah, it comes from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got a new movie, man. And I remember them announcing that they were going to do a Dungeons & Dragons movie. And of course, they're always terrible. So, I'm like, oh, whatever.
So you were like, put the date in my calendar because I'll be there.
Exactly. And then I saw the trailer and looked at some of the star. I was like, Chris Pine's in this? Which added a whole bunch of weight to it because he's still a fine young actor. He ain't that young anymore. He's in his 40s, I believe. He came out in Comic-Con. He had the weirdest hairdo. He looked like like he was in Point Break or something. He had this hair that flew over his face, and he looks like he's trying to be a 20.
Is he balding? And then there's
he has luscious hair.
But is it fake? I always feel like sometimes if you have fake hair, you do a weird hairstyle. Not like a toupee, but like
No. I don't think it was
plugs.
Fake. No, I don't think it.
I mean, I'm not saying. Here's the thing. No. I have a question. Yes. How's everybody in Hollywood not bald? Some of those people got to be bald.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I feel like they're either like Bruce Willis bald, right? Which is like intentional. I mean, obviously he would probably be balding if he
were. Oh shit! Bruce Willis' hairline was back here when he was on television, so he was just did the real man thing and just said.
Right. But he was balding back then, and you could tell.
Yeah. Yeah, he held on for as long as he could.
Who's balding now? Who's balding now? Who's famous?
I don't know.
Who's balding, damn it? Admit it. I think it's probably like Brad Pitt, I would assume, is maybe balding.
His hair is luscious and thick,
yes,
too.
Yes, you guys. It's all a lie. It's all a lie, okay? Yeah. I want everybody to know this is a conspiracy. Not everybody can not be bald.
So anyway, man, back to Dungeons & Dragons.
Sorry. I do like Chris Pine. I'm actually excited that he's in this movie because I think these are the kind of roles where he would really shine.
Because he has a lot of wit and,
Yeah, he's a goober kind. Like, I feel like he's moved away from that recently.
Because he's been doing a lot of serious stuff.
Right. And then I'm like, I like you here, but I miss you being a goober.
Yeah. Well, I actually really, really enjoyed him as Captain Kirk. I think he did a fantastic job at being serious and being, like, jokey at times and stuff like that. So I thought he did a really good job. So let me see. There we go. Honor Among Thieves is the name of it. It's not due to come out to 2023.
And, that's not too long.
Michelle Rodriguez is actually in this too. And she's like,
I know.
I can't tell if she's young. I can't tell if she's gained weight or if she's got buff because she's supposed to be a strong.
She's muscly, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, is she chunky or is she. She looked more but she's supposed to be like a strong
I love that this because every Dungeons and Dragons game is like you bring your character
you got somebody
and you make your like
with who's strong right. And,
I mean you could all theoretically do the same kind of class and stuff but it wouldn't Jesus I'm so sorry it wouldn't help you probably in your adventure I'm just saying but it was neat to see them kind of like gather their people. There was obviously that kind of implication that's happening in the movie here.
I see Justice Smith is in here. I love that.
I did. I saw him. Yeah.
Hugh Grant, who I just love. I love Hugh Grant. Oh my God. He's so diverse. Sophia Lillis. Is that who you talk? No. And so I want to see this. And normally, stuff like this is so terrible, but I really want to see this. So, 2023 this will be out and hopefully we'll see what happens and it looks what's funny about this thing it looks like the to me it reminds me of the cartoon like they seem American in a strange land
so yeah they just very much talking like hey bro
yeah so it looks to me like maybe it'll be like the cartoon where they were given these weapons by the dungeon master and stuff and, going on these quests.
Yeah. So like they were just like regular people or regular kids. I would assume they're kids.
And I'm making a big leap because that's how the TV show was. But when I saw, the dialogue between some of the characters, I was like, oh, it seemed like they like, talking about regular stuff in that land.
Did you read the article at all? Because this poor person writing this article was like, it's probably going to be bad because it's always been bad. And then I kind of feel bad for this movie already because it probably doesn't matter what it does at this point.
Well,
because
they never
poison the well.
They've never spent this much money on a Dungeons and Dragons movie. I mean, I think the last one had like Marlon Wayans when back in the '90s or something.
Yeah,
like that.
But I have actually never seen that movie, or all the way through. I mean, I've probably seen parts of it. But.
Yeah, like I don't see that.
I would also like to see it. So this trailer infamously has the kind of infamous owl bear that everybody talks about.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone was really excited about it.
Yeah.
And I think the idea was that it's like kind of a goofy thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be maybe a potential problem. Is the line between like being goofy and being.
Yeah, because it's, you know, either you're Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones or you're Cheech and Chong. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Other movies where it's like, you know, like a Bill and Ted.
Right. Yeah.
Something a funny adventure escapade thing. I mean, I think you can do both, but I'm not going to be going here looking for like high class cinema.
Yeah. So enough of that. Let's move on. So I'll be cutting that shit out.
Fuck you. Leave all my shit. I'll be like, cut that out. And you're like, okay, I will. And then you don't.
So, Lock and Key, man, is a show that I have been following whimsically. You know, I've enjoyed it. Yes, it's very CW-ish. Yes, it's very teen kid. But for some reason, you know, we watched the first season. We had one of the actors from the show come on our show and talk about it, which made me a little bit more interested in it, you know, And then they came out with the second season, and that came out, and it didn't seem like anybody cared. You know, like I didn't hear anybody talking about it or anything like that. But I enjoyed it, and it got really good toward the end, man. I mean, like as far as like the story really built, and you know, people had powers, and they almost was having superhero fights in this damn thing, and it was like good. You know, it wasn't like a shitty superhero fight; it was a good superhero fight. And then it went off, and I was like, well, I didn't hear a damn soul talk about this show, so it probably won't be back. And lo and behold, it's coming back next month, early next month too. And so I don't know if it's been on your radar, Tiff, but what do you think?
Here's some things I'd like to say about this. Yes. One is that I did like the show when I watched it, and it kind of fell off for me for some reason. I don't know if it was because sometimes if like my mood doesn't match a show, I we'll stop watching it, and then I forget about it. I will say, watching this trailer, I have no clue what's going on with the show. It seems like nonsense. Not because it's not a good trailer, but because I'm so lost beyond what they're doing that I'm like, who's dead? What's this? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that being said, I do think that this, what really excites me about this is, I don't know if you read it, but this is its last season.
Yeah.
It's an intentional last season. And that excites me because I think that people who have a clear vision for what they're doing, like their interpretation or their storytelling, I'd rather have someone limit themselves than to go on without reason.
Yeah, you know, I remain on both sides of the fence with that one because, you know, all this stuff is always motivated by cash, right? If it makes some cash, you know, we're going to just keep writing and keep writing, you know, into oblivion. And a lot of times that turns out terrible. You know, let's say this, most of the time, like 97% of the time, it turns out terrible. Eventually, you don't like the shit that's toward the end, you know, because they didn't know when to quit. Mm-hmm. They jumped the proverbial shark. But sometimes they do limited series, like Obi-Wan Kenobi was supposed to be just that and it. And it's like, no, you guys did not tell the full story. you told a part of a story. And to me, I'm like, no. This, I can see you doing that. And again, I heard no buzz for the second season. So maybe they just like, you know, get out while you can, you know. Let's not ruin it, you know. But yeah, everything that I saw in the trailer lines up without spoiling it. If you watch the first show of the first season, you had like they were like in old colonial times, you know, where this thing was discovered. So that's why you see that guy in that colonial suit and stuff. And they talk about time travel and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of made, you know, they did a Darth Vader with the girl, Dodge. And then they got an emperor who was this guy with the British coat on, this British officer. So he's like the bad guy who's kind of been there, but not manipulating things, but, you know, he's been there the whole time. And I think he has been manipulating things because he came from another time and he's been living in our time, you know, so.
This is a ludicrous plot. I do. When I watch that show, it kind of reminds me of, like, it's obviously a show for younger people.
Oh, 100%. I shouldn't be watching it. It's, you know, it's like really teeny.
It's not for me. It's not that. It's, what I mean is that, like, I enjoy watching it because it doesn't try to cater to me. I know that, like, sometimes in the CW shows that doesn't enough for me, but on this one it does kind of work for me. Where, like, it's a show that's I feel like it's really exciting, but it's, I don't want to say age appropriate because I feel like that's up to a person, but like, it's just, I think it'd be really fun for, like, you know, preteens and teenagers to probably watch this together, right?
Yeah. That's exactly who it's made for. But some of the themes are, you know, gets really spooky and stuff like that. And
right. So I feel like you're into spooky things and you're like a teen.
Yep.
Like it's like when you probably end up being like a weird kid who liked horror movies if you watched like Are You Afraid of the Dark, right? Because it's just something that you were interacting with at a younger age that like introduced you to the idea of weird, creepy shit.
Yeah, and nothing ever gets over the top. Like they don't slide past that PG-13 at all on the show, you know. So
like, oh fudge.
Yeah, right. I don't think they say
substitute curse words at all.
They don't.
They just kind of, if there's exclamations, but they're not of any, they'll be like,
yeah,
just screaming. I don't know. I didn't notice. That's one of the things we've discussed in the past that really bother me about things intended for a younger audience, but obviously have a higher risk, like not risk, but like the trouble in the movie is higher than that would calibrate. So like the kids are like, oh frick, and I'm like, you're being chased by a murderer. This is like not, you know what I mean? Like either the kids are in fun danger, like they are here, kind of here, where it's like serious enough for you to be a little scared, but also like, right? There's some pretty heavy stuff that I know that happens, fantasy stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
But like sometimes they like want you to be like, this is a really serious situation and they're mature enough to handle it, but they can't say the word shit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But I like the show, and I'm looking forward. I'm glad I don't have to wait 1,000 years, too. Good old Netflix, boy. They say it's coming.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Since I haven't been watching, I haven't watched the second season yet.
Okay.
Or maybe, like, part of it. Is that the older brother? Because did they replace him, or
That's him. Actually, yeah. See,
he looks so old.
Same guy. He's just older, you know?
Well, I know, but isn't that weird? Because he does look so much older, but the younger kid looks kind of like still a child.
And I hope he's grown up a little bit because he kind of got on my goddamn nerves last season. You know, because his voice was like still so high and he was always, and he was like, hello, will you stop hollering, you little fucker.
The thing about this is that Montego's like, I don't like violence towards children in movies, which I mean, sure, that's understandable. But then Montego's like, somebody shut this fucking kid up.
That ain't violent. That's just a command.
So shut him up.
He did a lot of screaming in the second season. So.
I'm not like particularly fond of repetitive screaming.
Yeah. I mean, every time he talked, he was just like excitable, you know, and with that voice. It's like if you gave Yoda a high-pitched voice, could you imagine how annoying that talk would be?
Sorry.
It's your dog.
Yep. We got some, I think there's a squirrel in the yard, everybody, reporting live from my dad's backyard. There's a squirrel.
So, oh, shit. So that's about it, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to check it out. I think it's not many, Tiff. It's easy watching, that's for sure. So if you ever get a chance to go back to it.
I was kind of thinking about maybe laying on the couch and watching it today.
You go through it pretty fast too, you know? So I recommend it. I did enjoy it. But it is what it is. Don't expect no super heavy duty. Anyway, man, that's it. We're going to take our break and we're going to be right back. All right, man. We're back, and it's what you're watching time, man. If this is your first time listening to the show, we thank you and we love you for spending your time with us. What we're watching is just that. It is what I'm watching, what Tiff is watching. We come to the show, we check out something. If we think it's special, and that's what's different about what you're watching, Tiff, because it's always something we're enjoying. It's not like a one-shot where we check something out and be like, this is bullshit. You know, it's actually something that we're trying to like tell other people, hey, you ought to give this shit a chance. It's pretty good. So we also do different things during this middle section. So buckle up. So Tiff, what have you been watching?
So I have been watching, I think it's a So Wizard favorite actually, Yellow Jackets.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's on Showtime.
Yeah.
It's like these girls on a soccer team crash in the woods, and then it's kind of, you know, there's some, they get trapped there for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So does it turn into Lord of the Flies and shit like that?
Or? Yeah, it's kind of like there's
Becky,
so the story Becky
is
back in,
beating up Piggy, you know, like stuff.
So it weaves back and forth between the past and the present, where they are. There's survivors, and I'm not sure I know all the survivors yet, but it's wild.
Really?
And it's very creepy, especially if you watch it alone at night in a house that is not yours.
Like you did last night.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So and most of the time it's pretty tamely creepy where you're like, I can handle this. But then I watched a particular episode that had a very creepy situation in it. And I was like, fuck.
shoot. That's interesting, man. So you recommend?
Yeah, I highly recommend. But I also realize that I'm coming in very late on this kind of. So probably people who are into it have already seen it. But if you're kind of like me, where you were like, I'll get to it eventually, I would really recommend doing it.
Tiff, I think everybody in the world right now is I'll get to it eventually. You know, I mean, there's so much dope shit. Like, I pay for Apple, and mm-hmm. I don't really watch anything on there. But it's a bunch of dope shit. I'm like, man, look at it. That look good. I'm going to watch that. Do I get around to it? No. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, yeah, man, like, I just thought just now, I wonder if Paper Girls came out. Well, you know, we talked about
it. It did.
That. It did? God damn it. I want to watch Paper Girls, man. I'm really interested. I might watch that today. So, my what you're watching, man. Now, I know what everybody's going to say. They're going to like, here he go with this stuff again, you know. But this is different. So, I was watching YouTube, right? And I subscribed to an independent news source called Vice. If you guys are ever familiar, want to really watch some stuff that's not mainstream media that you know, take up their own stance. It's like, look, we're going to sit over here. We're going to give you a real story, like real news people without any bias. That's Vice. That is not what I've been watching. Vice had a show called Icons Unearthed, Star Wars, A New Hope, Part 1. And so I think they're coming on like, the different parts are coming on every Tuesday. They say Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So I just stumbled onto this. Normally, I don't watch this stuff because I watch, like, Star Wars, like, documentaries, like, my whole life. And you're like, it's nothing else that I really need to know about Star Wars. You know what I'm saying? I know it all. You know, I know how they did this trick, that trick. But this was so different. It was unlike any one of these shows that I've seen before. They really picked a lot of people who you've never seen in interviews before, who have been involved with the projects and was given their point of view of how things happened and what happened and a lot of the disasters that happened. And you didn't even know these people, you know. I mean, well, mm-hmm. you knew, like, you heard some of their names, like his ex, George Lucas' ex-wife, who they never interviewed about Star Wars, who was one of the editors. You know, she's one of the voices and stuff. And they just, you know, talked about a lot of things that you never knew had happened. And it was just like, this shit is interesting, you know. And that was just really, like, you know, it grabbed me. And, you know, and any documentary for Star Wars hasn't grabbed me in a long time. And I guess one of the things I really like about it is they're talking to people who are part of it now and mm-hmm. not some silly ass person from some website who just been engulfed in it. And when those people, I can't stand them so much because they try to talk about it like from first person, you know. Mm-hmm. They be like, well, George Lucas was really pissed off at this moment, you know. And you're like, your ass wasn't even born. How do you know? Right. How do you
know? Lying sack of shit.
Right. And so they avoid that. I will say they have one reporter on there who is that person out of the people they're interviewing. And every time mm-hmm. she comes up, I'm like, what the hell she knows? She wasn't even born. Get off, you know. And what bothers me is it's because she talks like she was there, you know. And it's just like, mm-hmm. I hate those people. You weren't there. You didn't know.
You're so mad. So, oh my God.
So that's
the world according to Montego.
You damn right. But it's called, again, for anybody that's interested, Icons Unearthed, Star Wars, New Hope Part 1. And they promise they're going to go through all of it. You know, it's not just a Star Wars doc. It's like all of the documentaries for Star Wars. And if they keep this point of view, is very interesting. You know, it's not the DVD extras that you used to seeing and stuff, you know. So that's what I've been watching. So that's it, man. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back. It's main topic time. And I'm glad we got plenty of time to talk about the main topic. So we will be right back. I just can't talk today. All right, man, we are back. It's time to check out the evil weather balloon from hell. We are here to talk about Jordan Peele's Nope, Jack. So we went to the movies and everything was groovy. And yeah, man, 2022 rated R, 2 hours. Now, this is weird. IMDb says 2 hours, 10 minutes. The movies, when I was at the actual cinema, it said 2 hours, 15 minutes. So which one is it? You know, so
ooh, man, I know. A mystery.
So it's categorized here as a horror, mystery, sci-fi, and pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Directed by Jordan Peele, who we know and love. And here's the synopsis, guys. The residents of a lonely gulch in inland California bear witness to an uncanny and chilling discovery. Kept it simple, just like the name. I guess it's
pretty
accurate.
Good, actually, it's accurate.
It's accurate. So who's in this movie, Tiff?
Okay, so of course Daniel Kaluuya is in it.
Yes.
Kiki Palmer. Stephen Yuen.
Yeah.
Brandon Perea.
Yeah, I liked his character.
Michael Wincott.
Ain't seen him in a while, Tiff. Last time I saw him was an Eddie Murphy movie. Before that, he was in The Crow.
Yeah, that's where I recognize him from too. Is The Crow. Ren Schmidt.
Yep.
Keith David.
Keith David, my boy.
So Keith David.
My boy.
They're in Gone.
No.
Donna Mills. I like to talk about Barbie Ferreira, who was his coworker, who was in there very briefly. I just really like her. She's from Euphoria.
I don't even remember. Oh, okay.
She's the tech kid's, she's Angel's coworker. She talks to him very briefly. I just like her.
That was quick. So. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, man, before we go any further, it is time for a word.
Oh, me first. Yes. Okay. I'm going to say, I've been thinking about my one word, and I'm going to say it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Speaking about the shots and
yeah, I think that Jordan Peele really obviously it's a lot you can say it's about a lot of directors, but I think he has an eye for like stunning images and kind of a horror fashion, like weird creeping horror too, which I really love.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that really great stuff, and I want to talk about some things as we go in, but like just overall it's a gorgeous film. Like sometimes in the lighting in this film I'm like, that's great.
Yeah. My one word, I've super duper struggled because I wanted to say long because at points, this thing.
It is a long film.
At points, this sucker felt super long. I was like, oh, goodness. So I think it could have been, I'm just going to say long. but, you know, and that doesn't mean I didn't like this film because I'll be honest with you, I did like it. But there were definitely, I think like that 2 hours, 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Could have definitely got rid of anything over 2 hours because it was just a couple of points where I was like, huh, come on, fellas. Come on. We can go through this one a little more, bit more faster than that. But so let's hit those spoilers and get into it. So weird shit was happening when it was coming on, Tiff. You know, they were showing some monkey, you know, in a wrecked room and, you know, showing what we learn later is an orifice, right? Was like, what the hell?
The giant flying butthole, no.
And so it was a little weird. So it comes on there, and what's the first thing that happened, Tiff? Because I remember the flashes kind of confused me because they were showing the flashes, and then they showed the ranch, and we were at the ranch, and, you know, they had these horses, and, you know, they were working.
Yeah, his dad dies pretty quickly is what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, they're doing, you know, you didn't know what it was. Was it a farm? Was it a ranch? And then, you know.
Right. It just looked like people who are working with horses for whatever reason. I mean, if you'd seen the film or the trailer, maybe you'd know. But even I didn't really know what they did.
Yeah. Right. So he gets hit by a coin And it's pretty bad. I'm like, God damn it. Keith David is in this sucker for 5 seconds.
So fast. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, here, like, he was just in here so fast. It happened so fast that I was like, surely, I kind of thought that that would come back somehow.
I thought they would have a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. But yeah, there he was, and he was gone.
As soon as he opens his mouth, though, sitting on that horse, I was like, I like that man. For some reason, he might be an asshole, but he just starts talking. You know, where's your sister? I'm like, God damn, that voice. You know, just...
Ooh, Keith David.
Yeah, no. So he gets peppered by some, you know, some stuff, and we didn't know what the hell was happening. When he was in that car, oh, boy, I was just like, boy.
Yeah, and like, honestly, I was like, oh my God, call 911. And then I was like, oh, you really can't. No, I mean, no. You can, but you might as well just do what he's doing.
Yeah.
But also, I will say, I think this was a great... There's something about the way they show driving in this film where you can't really tell how fast they're going. And it was so, like, made me so anxious.
Slow.
Yes. And I think that was intentional. And I just felt so anxious that whole time. And you're like, he just was not going to make it.
Right. I thought there was like no sense of urgency with OJ.
That's what it felt. Ooh, I can still feel it. I'm going back in time to that anxious moment.
So speaking of Daniel Kaluuya playing OJ, he just was such an old man in this damn role. You know, he talks slowly.
I love the way he talks in this movie.
It was definitely a choice. You know, I'm like,
yeah.
He definitely is like, he that dude that don't say nothing, man. He just, you know.
Yeah, but don't you seem like that's the person you trust.
Well, so he goes and they have this business, and I thought that was so cool. You know, that the history lesson that Jordan mm-hmm. Peele gave us about the, you know, the Hollywood horses and things. And wow. First of all, I was mad at his sister so bad just for being late.
Because she was late?
Just because she
that's
was what late.
That's why this is so good, is because you're like, you're anxious. There's a lot of like really weird anxiety building in this movie that I really appreciate. Like that part where you're like, just fucking show up.
I know.
Because like, because there's just, it just, you're upset, right? Yeah. And then you know fucking something's going to go wrong with that horse.
Yeah, because it was just too much with the horse. And now, to me, that's one, I'm going to be honest with you, one of my favorite scenes in this movie is this whole horse thing. Because he tried to say the speech, then she came in, she went overboard with the speech. It was still fine. But then, like, nobody, those Hollywood bastards, nobody was listening to his directions, you know, and maybe he should have been more forceful. Because everybody, I know you don't stand behind no damn horse. You crazy? Are you nuts? People die that way. It happens a lot. And, you know, then they're messing with the horse, and then she's telling a story, and the only person that's really interested is the director, and they all get silent because the director is interested, you know, and that voice comes from behind, you know, that raspy, that dude always had that voice, even, you know, in the Crow and other movies, and you're just like, wow, this, you know, it was just interesting. So they get fired, going back, and he's selling the horses to Daniel Yen's character, who's a child actor, Ricky from Ricky Park or something like that.
They had two shows. He was on that show, and then he was on the Gordy Show.
The Gordy Show, right? Holy shit!
Whatever that was called.
And I could not figure out for the longest why we were spending any time with Steven Yen character, Ricky. You know, it wasn't you. You didn't find out why you were spending time with them until later on in the movie. And because I was like, well, I something is going on, but I don't see the connection other than being neighbors and he wanted their land. But it wasn't a hostile takeover. They were poor. And, you know, he's taking horses to them to sell. So anyway, sister shows up. She's a damn fool. And, you know, he's dealing with her. Definitely. She's a handful, man. You know, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So they don't waste any time, Tiff. The horse gets out.
No, that's what I was going to say about this movie is we very early establish that it's kind of like a UFO situation.
Yeah. And when he's out there in that field and that thing dips over that mountain like it's a bush, you know, I'm like, holy shit, you know. So they get the big scheme that they're going to have, that they're going to film it and become rich and famous and get Oprah mm-hmm. money. So how are you feeling about the direction of these things right now?
One of the reasons I love this movie so much when I watched it was because a lot of what I enjoy about horror movies particularly is the feeling that something isn't right.
Yeah. Like that cloud just sat there and never moved.
Right. And there were so many parts in this movie where like I had that weird experience of like, that would be fucking weird, right? And it's interestingly different than I have seen others, you know, but obviously influenced by things. But I'm like, it very much like you can tell that he's a fan of like the Twilight Zone. Cause it's kind of like that weird feeling that you get when you watch the Twilight Zone where you're like,
yeah,
that's fucking weird. Well, right? Yeah. That's like what he's going for.
Well, 100%. And he produced the Twilight Zone, a new one with.
Right. Which I haven't seen. So I'm kind of curious to maybe know if I'd like it.
We did a one shot on the show a long time ago. Maybe you weren't on the show though.
I don't think if I was on episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good show, man. So yeah, the thing is dipping behind the clouds, and when you get a look at that thing, I'm like, what the shit is that? You know, what is that?
They have no idea. Yeah. Like, what the thing. Okay. So this does get a little confusing because they do kind of go back and forth between different stuff, but they are setting up cameras to try to catch it on film.
Yeah. And I love Angel.
When they go, I love Angel too. I think that's a great addition.
Yeah.
And when he first came, I was like, oh, all three of these characters have great chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he went away, and I was like, oh, that's it. I like when he's calling them
dicks underneath his breath. You guys are a bunch of dicks. I'm like, and then he goes and he's helping them with surveillance without their permission. And the day the bug gets on the camera. And that whole scene, talk about anxiety. The bug is on the camera. The horse is loose. I don't want nothing to happen to the horse. I'm like, what's
I know. Everyone, that's the thing. You really fucking worry about the horses in this movie. Yeah, I'm always so worried about them.
Yeah. The horse is like, ain't playing. He running from this thing. And then your boy get out there. So they see it, right? I mean,
yes.
This thing is floating around and it's stalking them. And it's quick. And it's like, what the hell are you going to do? You know, but you get under shelter and you're fine. And, you know, it was terrible. You know, did he get that horse? I think he got that horse, didn't he? He got that horse in the beginning, right?
Yeah, I think. Like, the thing about it is the horses went away and we never really saw if they just didn't come back. But I was kind of wondering about that, about the,
I'm sorry. We messed it up. Because they set that trap with that fake horse that she stole from the
carnival. Right, and he did suck that up.
So then he was chasing the other horse. And eventually we don't see the horse. But that damn thing was relentless trying to get them, just hovering and just waiting. And I'm like, what is this? What is this thing? What is this damn thing? And so, creepiest part in the movie to me, Tiff. So they don't get nothing on film, right? Mm-mm. They call the movie guy. He tells them, pretty much tells them whatever. He ain't doing shit with you. And when the lights came on in the shed and he went in there. Oh my goodness.
That really scared me. And even when it turns out to be like a kid, you don't realize that when that little head is peeping over the side of the stall.
Yeah, yeah.
I nearly shit myself. I was like, just get it over with.
It got me when he went back and looked at the light, and it looked like it was a sack next to the thing, and then all of a sudden
they were like standing up. Yeah, I thought that was like, I was like,
them kids would have got murdered.
I would kill my fucking property. But so obviously we go in the Steven Yeun character. I'm having a brain fart.
He decides. Starts making sense at this point.
Because right. It's like the UFO, he's like a worshiping it or something, like, it's part of whatever they're doing. And I couldn't tell if he actually knew and it was real or he didn't know.
No, he knew. He had been feeding that damn thing. That's why he'd been buying the horses from OJ and he'd been putting it in there.
I did go to the bathroom at one point.
he had been buying the horses from OJ and OJ didn't know. And he has set up this whole thing. They've been letting horses go down in the gorge. And that's why they've been hearing horses. Like, the thing's been sounding like a horse. Because, you know, the next scene, which F me up. So the thing comes out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. It sucks them all up.
The horse wasn't coming out of that glass tip. He was like, shit. And, yeah, they get sucked up in there. And then.
Oh, and then you saw the inside.
Shows them being what?
I thought that was fucking amazing.
Digested?
I am so
they're just suffering.
I thought I have never.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe really thought about what this might be like.
Oh my god!
And while I was in there, I was like, I think that this would be fucking miserable.
I mean, you're just being slowly.
And you know, and you know, yeah. and you know, until whatever happens, happens, you fucking know. What a goddamn nightmare.
And the thing was flying around. And so then you realize, oh, that was horses in there being tortured to death when it was flying around. Because now you can
actually they saw the skull of a horse right in there.
Well, it was actually people in there hollering and screaming and shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then I thought that when they were getting stuff, you saw a lot of stuff in there. But so this is where they're going back to the house. He's trying to get back to the house.
Oh, my goodness.
Because the thing flies over it and what
was
rains.
That? Was that a shit? Was he taking a shit? Was it?
What yeah, was it? I think everything that has killed people was like shit or piss.
Yeah.
Because that would... The velocity of that would definitely...
I was wondering, though, why he chose... I mean, was he marking his territory, going over their house? I assume it was marking his territory like an animal, you know, and because he put it all in the house. And, you know, then they spent the night in the car. I was like... I love when he opened the car door and he was like, nope. You know, it was right, yep. right over his head.
Now, this is the scene that I kind of hinted that I wanted to talk about at the beginning. And I wanted to talk a little bit about here the art of the jump scare, which is I don't mind a jump scare as long as it's not cheap.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's not my favorite form of scare because obviously we're tense. So that's why it's if you build the tension and then do me a good jump scare, I'm in.
Yeah.
If you're just cheap, like a lot of kind of like The Nun. Those kind of movies. I know you do. But they have like a lot of cheap kind of jump scares and people like that. That's kind of some people's thing.
Yeah.
This is like one of my favorite jump scares because it's exactly unexpected, like when the horse comes through.
Oh, through the window?
Jesus. Obviously, I nearly shit.
Yeah, that was
a great buildup and an excellent scare.
It was a big one because this show did come over him and did the same thing. And it was terrifying. I'll tell you what was the creepiest thing about that whole time was which would not happen. I don't know why. Okay, they had a record player and it would start playing slow. But why was Sunglasses at Night playing slow? It was not a record. It's digital, right? No way in the world that boy had a tape deck in his car, you know? So, but when it was just like boom, 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 I was like,
I actually kind of liked it.
No, I'm saying it was creepy as hell, you know?
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, you know how we always bitch about how they slow songs down?
Yeah, but that was masterful.
I was like, this was done in a way that I thought hadn't been, like, I was like, it made it different creepy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. So when it was over with, you know, they came out, they didn't look it in the face and drove away. You know, it went away, and then, you know, the song come right back on. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, oh, this is so bad, you know. But yeah, and I'm just, oh, the people getting sucked up, though, which is damn. So this evil helium balloon is, you know, this, you know, evil weather balloon is not going anywhere. They can't make a move on that property. Funny enough, it don't seem to leave the property. It's just staying right there between those two properties. And so the director comes on. They're going to film it. You know, he has his own, you know, they think about it. They come up with a plan. And I like how it involved all of them. Like, nobody was like dead weight, you know. No, you know, I mean, serious, because, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he was training it. What's her name? Emerald? Is that her name? Was it Emerald? That's the sister?
Oh, his sister's name is,
I thought it was Emerald.
I'm not sure.
You know, they all had a part to play. And the two fools of this whole thing was Angel and the director. Because ain't no way in hell I would have been out there with a damn tarp over my hair with that thing out there. So, you know, they're...
It's Emerald M. I was looking at the thing. I have to ask about the director, though.
Yeah.
They got the shot, right?
They act like...
So why did he...
I don't
run
know.
Out there?
He wanted to get the impossible shot. That's what he told the guy. He was like, you don't know nothing about the impossible. So the real impossible shot was not seeing an alien. The real impossible... Oh, creature. The real impossible shot was getting sucked up in that damn thing, which was, you're nuts. You know, no way in hell. But when the motorcycle dude came on board, talk about just effing up the plan, being all arrogant and shit. I thought that was masterful. This whole sequence of events, you know.
I thought that that gentleman was going to take it. Cause like, I mean, and that's kind of what I like about these movies is that some stuff happens that's like, Yeah, weird and likely because it's news stuff, yeah. But also creepy and weird because he was like, they say stuff that like fits into what somebody would say, but is also like out of, like, yeah. I thought, oh, there's going to be some kind of weird government thing. But then it was just TMZ. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you didn't know what at first. You was like, what the hell? When she says TMZ, I was like, this shit is so crazy.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So he got effed up, Tiff. You know, we went down there and he got effed. Talk about getting your comeuppance quick. He was like, told your ass. You don't know, but you knew everything. And they tried to arrest
him. That's why I love what, because Angel's like, oh my God, we're going to prison. Yeah. And I was like, that's exactly how I would react in a situation where there's an alien. I'd be like, oh, well, we're fucking going to prison, I guess. Well,
I don't know how, you know, all the personal effects of all those people is on their front porch.
Right. It's, you know.
So, you know, it sucks the director up. And then I don't know what happens, why it changed shape all of a sudden. You know, well, I don't know what that was about. But before we go there, let's go back to the monkey massacre.
Yes.
Holy shit.
I was so terrified that monkey was going to find
that little boy.
The kid.
Oh, but he was beating on a lady and stuff. And then
Oh my God, he killed so many people.
He just went to town on people. And that damn monkey was way too big to be in that damn show. You know, they can't be adults. They have to be, you know.
Babies?
Yeah, they have to be babies to be performers and stuff because they turn into fucking, you know, wild, they beast.
Yeah,
They shouldn't even be in there. That damn thing. Oh, boy. And then when he about to do the fist bump and he shot in the head, that was actually, like, good.
Well, yeah, you'd be like, because I thought that it was going to kill Ricky, but, like, I mean, obviously.
Well, he got lives, spooked, but, and he kept getting right. spooked every time the balloons was busting, you know, and they unpredictable, man. That was the most intense scene in the whole damn
yeah,
movie.
I just, and the thing about it is, I do want to, at this point, touch on the trailer for this film that I initially saw. I know that later there was a second trailer,
a goofy trailer. Yeah.
Very, very close to having seen the movie, and I was upset because I didn't want to know that much. I was kind of like a you in this situation where I was like, I didn't need to see anymore.
Right, right.
But that initial trailer, the way they cut it makes it almost seem like there's going to be like a horse person, right?
I had no idea. I didn't know that was
a monkey hand. I thought it was a human and horse hybrid in the trailer.
Ah, I got you.
I don't know why I thought that, but just the way that the trailer was cut, you'd have no idea necessarily what's happening in this movie, which is a brilliant trailer, but like enough to make you interested, right? You're curious.
And you know who the director is. It's just like
right. I mean, there's obviously that, but like I think even coming in blind to that, I would be like, this is interesting.
Yeah. The second trailer I didn't like because they had gotten really goofy and stuff. They were showing a lot of the goofy parts, like with them slapping hands and all that kind of stuff. And you're just like, I hope this don't get silly. But it got silly enough without getting ridiculous. And, you know,
I do think there was a lot of humor, too, in just the reality of the way that the people react in this movie. Like, the nope parts are funny because you would be like, if you open the door, they'd be like, no way.
No way. You're not faster than that thing. But, Tiff, why did the thing turn into Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade at the end? You know,
I don't know. I think maybe it knew it was being attacked, so it was like,
it was, you think it was like on prey mode now?
Yeah, that looked like a more of like a threatening.
Yeah, and I just knew OJ's ass was toast. You know, I was like, oh boy,
I thought so too, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, because, you know, it got further it got away from Emerald enough so that battery worked, but it immediately turned toward her as soon as she got on that thing and was coming after her, yeah. You know. And she got to, I didn't know what she was doing when she got to the little places. I'm like, that's plenty of shit there to hide. You'll be fine.
yeah.
But, you know, then I was like, oh, she's going to take a picture of the damn thing with the whale camera and stuff. And so that was a struggle. Poof. I don't think it's helium in those balloons that she let free.
Yeah, I don't know what's in there. Isn't it just get blown up by like an air thing in the back?
I think so. I don't think they're helium. And that's one thing I did not like about it. I was like, he could have ate the damn thing on the ground. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse me, this movie about aliens, there is no helium in that.
There's no helium.
Okay, I'm going to let you know. Although I do think, you know, I can get that. And I'm not sure if that was, but here's the thing, even if there's no helium, Here's how I'm going to think about it. I don't know.
It's a balloon that like, popped, so, you know.
Yeah, right. Even if you take a sack full of air, you can pop it. So right. I would assume if you're trying to crush something like that, Oof. It might pop. I don't know if how I don't know what the logistics are of putting an airbag inside of a giant jelly alien, but...
Well, let's look at it this way, too. This is something that confounded me in this movie. I was like, nobody came out and tried to shoot this thing with a big gauge? You know, nobody?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's my shotgun? I'm on a wrench. I know we got shotguns, man. I would have at least shot at the damn thing one time. The movie might have been over in the beginning. If we don't know.
I guess how far up in the air was it?
Well, I'm talking about when it was swooping down and, you know, coming after him and stuff, you know. It was up high enough that the change and stuff that dropped out, you know, killed the father. And so
I thought that was with effort.
I don't think it did. Do you think that I figured it was an accident, like it just happened to be going over them. And that indicates right from the beginning that horses wasn't always on the menu. Then he got a bunch of people because it was a bunch of coins and stuff hitting the ground, you know, when it was
right, right.
You know, so.
Horses notoriously do not carry change.
Yeah. So, she takes a picture of the thing.
Yep.
It blows up. OJ shows up. I'm so glad he showed up.
I did too. Although part of my cynical heart was like, is he dead? Because it's the out yonder and it's very smoky back there.
Yeah, no. What got me
symbolically,
they showed her smiling and trying not to cry at the same time, looking at him. And I thought they were going to end the movie like that. And I was like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But then they showed OJ and then they end the movie. So, and all the reporters showed up all of a sudden, you know.
Yes.
You know, good thing the machine blew up. I mean, the little clown blew up because they would have been next. You know, they out there. this is a dangerous place to come. So, something I've never seen before, Tiff, in this movie. You know, it was very original.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, almost like Cujo.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he's going to do next because he's just so interesting to me.
Yeah, nothing is the same. He's not repeating himself doing, you know, the same shit. You know, his movies are pretty different, but follow the same mysterious themes, you know.
Yeah.
And being a fan of The Twilight Zone, if you just keep doing that, there's always something that you can do, right?
Yeah, it's The Twilight Zone.
It doesn't have to make sense either, right? So that's it, man. We can't do the damn thing and we got it done. Not sure what we're doing next week. We have choices, man. You know, we got Bullet Train is coming to the theater, but Gray Man is out on Netflix. You know, maybe we'll do that. Who knows? So I'm the host of Fans Patrol. My name is Montego. With me is my dynamite co-host, Mr. Tipplebody. It's time to say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Indeed. And until next week, man, we will be
on patrol.